This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And the world, what a funeral. A state funeral that drew presidents and kings, princesses, prime ministers, you name it. The crowds in the streets of London and at Windsor Castle were ultimately she was taken back to, honoring the monarch who reigned for 70 years. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, pomp, pageantry, all that kind of stuff, all rolled up into this. I did watch a little bit of it today. And trust me, there was coverage that was probably 7 to 8 hours long. What really struck me was watching the king struggle at one point, wiping away tears when they were playing God Save the King, because, of course, it was God Save the Queen. And just the people who were everywhere to get a glimpse of her coffin, to have their children see this piece of history and how revered she was, even though there were definitely people who don't care for the royals, there are many more that care for this and care for the tradition. And watching the Royal Navy sailors with their precision using ropes to draw the gun carriage carrying her flag-draped coffin to Westminster Abbey, where then it was carried inside by pallbearers that were also in sync in their movements. About 2,000 people in Westminster Abbey who were there for that part of the ceremony, which, of course, was broadcast all over the place. You know, you're on top of the coffin, and you couldn't help but notice it, and was really focused on, made sense. There were flowers from King Charles, and specific flowers from her gardens, but the coffin was draped with the royal standard, the flag, and on top of it was the imperial state crown, which has jewels, diamonds, etc., all over it, and the orb and scepter, which are the tools of the trade, so to speak, for a king or a queen. It was interesting to also see the heirs to the throne, to see little 9-year-old George, who is second in line behind Prince William, who is now first in line after King Charles III. And like I said, on top of the coffin, there was a handwritten note, and you could see it in camera view where it said, "In loving and devoted memory," and it was signed Charles R. So, how about that? Very, 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 very interesting to see and hear some of what people had to say about the Queen and their brushes with her, etc., people who worked for her, people who knew her a little bit better, who added some insight and some of the coverage that I happened to see. But again, it was the people who lined the route and were there, wanted to see, wanted to get a glimpse of their Queen for one last time. 4 billion people are expected that they tuned in to watch this around the world. We don't know the exact ratings yet, but the numbers we know are certainly very, 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 very high. So it is the end of an era, and there was something touching about watching her body being taken back to the castle and seeing that her two dogs, her two of her many dogs, two of her corgis, were there waiting, and so was the staff, to say their final goodbyes, because this is it. And though she was 96, and that's a life well lived, and she said she feels that she was fortunate and had a life well lived and has no regrets, told many people that, even seeing the bagpiper that woke her up every single day after 9 o'clock in the morning, watching him walk away. It was just so poignant. The thing that also, I think, stands out about Queen Elizabeth II is there'll never be another. And to think of the 70 years and to think of the time of the monarchy and the 14 presidents, United States presidents that the Queen dealt with, knew, had conversations with, went to state dinners, various events, welcomed them to England. And it stretches so far back in our history, the history that she carried with her, and her gratitude toward the United States for what happened at the end of World War II. So rip to a queen who definitely made an impact. An impact of a different sort. Very sad to see the faces of the people that are left dealing with the ravages of a woman named Fiona, really a storm named Fiona after a woman. Floods, power outages, all that kind of thing. And we've seen this dance before in Puerto Rico. They have a terrible infrastructure, especially when it comes to electricity. So there's problems with drinking water and with a lot of people that do not have electricity. The one thing that is different this time around from 5 years ago, when it was a full-blown hurricane named Maria, is you don't have the amount of deaths. A couple of people reported dead, and that number could change, but certainly not the numbers they had seen in the past. But definitely people struggling, where houses were flooded, and there's people trying to find clean water and knowing that they're going to be in the dark because they don't have any power, because that power grid is atrocious, and trying to put themselves back together again. Same thing with Alaska. Widespread flooding after Typhoon Murbach, and they're trying to assess even the complete damage of it, but the remnants of the storm were apparent all over the place. And same thing, power outages, flooding, dealing with homes that were destroyed, that fell in half or floated off of the foundation, which is just a shocking thing, I can imagine, to see that. So the wickedness, the mayhem that is often part of what Mother Nature serves up is on full display in those two areas. But as far as hitting the United States, the path of the storm, not expected at all to hit to hit anywhere in the United States. Maybe some riptide on the East Coast, but as of now, unless there's some bizarre swing that has not that is not the course of this storm. So that is a very, 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 let me say it again, a very good thing that we're not dealing with that along, who knows, the Gulf Coast or anywhere else, if it had come from a different direction. A lot of people bracing for Wednesday. And why Wednesday? Because the feds could raise the rate, and they're expected to do that, expected to raise it again. And we've seen this show before, over and over and over again. The hikes were supposed to combat inflation. How do they work? That's a big question many, many, many people have, because it doesn't feel like it's working. It's expected to go up just a little bit. We'll see what happens on Wednesday, and we'll talk about that more in our upcoming shows. Stay with us.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com. 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Green Room right now. Author Joyce B. Whaley is with us. The book that we're going to talk about, but she's got a bunch of books, Curious Max Part 2. He's at it again. The cover is so wonderful, and I'm thinking of school and kids being back to school, and Max is really an interesting character. Joyce, thanks for coming on.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about the Curious Max series first. How did you go down this road? How did this all get started for you?
I don't even know how to say it. Something transpired in my life where I needed to survive to get through it. And I'm already a writer of adult books. And one day while I was sitting at my desk, I called it my writer's cap. It came on, and I began to write this series. So I needed it to help me get through what I was going through. And so it just began to flow. So I carved out literally 10 installments in about 3 hours. And so then I was like, oh, my God, I can write children's books. And so it started from there.
So children's books. So let's talk about Max. Tell us about the Max character.
Max's character is similar to the Charlie Brown's character. However, the difference between Charlie Brown and Max is, I call it a trump card. Max's success is because he always confides in his mom when certain things is happening in his life. And so that's how he gets through. And she has this uncanny way of helping him through different crises, using the word of God, but she takes it and she makes it in layman's terms. He doesn't even know that she's really like preaching to him. So, and that's how he succeeds through it all. So, yeah, his character is similar to the Charlie Brown series. He's always going through something. But when I'm sorry.
And this is a big thing that he's going through now. So, I love that you compare him to the Charlie Brown character. So, what happens in this book where he's at it again? Because it's a big change.
Well, Well, you know, I think in this particular book, I think Max is going into the first and second grade. And, you know, with little kids, it's almost like to them, they're going into the 12th grade. And so he doesn't think that anybody's going to like him. And it's going to be just like his past, you know, people picking on him and this, that, and the third. But what Max doesn't know is that his mom kind of paved the way for him. So she went to school before his first day and kind of explained to his teacher how he's been going from school to school. And by the time he gets there, if you look in the book, his shoulders are kind of hunched down because he was like, oh, God, it's going to happen again. But this time when he gets in class, all the kids say, good morning, Max. And his eyes get big and he's like, oh, wow, how did you know my name? So that's how, yeah. And then he meets some friends. But only later on in the next series, you'll find that they're kind of like Linus and the other good guys. But he gets through it. He gets through it.
You know, what I love, too, is the strong bond between the mother and Max. And even in the very beginning of it, you talk about what a Saturday morning is like and how they go on this field trip to a zoo and
yes.
what the zoo is like. And, oh, it's so interesting. So these stories, do you draw a lot of this from your life or from people around you?
Literally, the Curious Max series is me and my son's life.
Mm-hmm. I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
Wow, what a fun mom. So, and I like how you, again, with the storytelling and the illustrations, who does the illustrations? They're so great.
The book is published through Westbow Press.
Oh, and they come up with that. It's just wonderful because his character is, he attracts you sort of to him because you know what's going on in his head. What is he thinking about? What's happening now and how is he dealing with it? What do you hope kids take away from reading any of the Curious Max stories?
To establish a relationship with either their parent, their sister or brother, and never think that they're going through anything alone. Don't assume anything. Ask questions. Yeah, if anything that. Yeah.
What does your son think of the series?
He's excited about it. But I didn't use his name. See, his name is Anthony, and my grandson's name is Maximilian. So to say Curious Anthony wasn't a hit. So then I kept throwing our names around, and then I said Max. And so it was like, okay, I'm going to use my grandson's name, but the story's about my son.
I love it. And so people can get the books, any of your books, Curious Max Part 2, He's At It Again, or any of the series. They can get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Is there any other place you want to send them?
And my website, www.RavensNestMinistriesInc.com. And that's all one word, RavensNestMinistriesInc.com.
Perfect. Joyce, keep doing what you do. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right, I'm always fascinated by where the ideas come for children's books, and because I feature authors, and I do that for a reason, because I think all of us have a book in us. I really believe that, whether it's a children's book or it's some other story, everybody has a story to tell, and they don't have to be invisible. This is a story that was a wild story. Adnan Syed, released from a Maryland prison after 22 years, would his murder conviction even have been overturned without the very popular podcast called Serial? When you talk about podcasts, this is a podcast that so many people pay attention to. And so here it is. He was sentenced to life in prison, and 8 years after a very shaky case against him became the central part of this hit podcast. And a Baltimore judge on Monday ordered the conviction be vacated, and he walked out of the courthouse a free man. And he was led in handcuffs, and then he was led out of the courthouse, shackles removed, all of that. And his mother and other family members were there with him. Wow, it's interesting. The move came after prosecutors said they no longer have faith in their original case. Something that many of the followers of Serial have been saying for years. The first season of the podcast, which was 12 episodes, spawned a bunch of investigations into Syed's conviction, books, documentaries, national media attention, all of that. Sarah Koning, the host, said she was unsure who killed Haemin Lee, Syed's ex-girlfriend, and so all that ambiguity really attracted the attention. He was sentenced to life in prison, 30 years, plus 30 years, after he was convicted of that 1999 murder, but he maintained his innocence since age 17. And, you know, it's very difficult to have most prisoners wouldn't have that kind of an opportunity because of the focus of that podcast and because of the doubts and because of how it captured national attention. This ultimately led to that being reversed. Otherwise, that would not have happened. So it brings up all kinds of questions. First of all, who is the murderer? And then the other thing is, you know, DNA testing, we know that's made a huge difference. And you wonder how many people are in those situations. I mean, do I think that there are plenty of guilty people that have been convicted? Of course. But do I think that there are people who are dirt poor, who have terrible representation, who somehow, without great evidence, get convicted and find themselves rotting away in a prison somewhere, and they're innocent? Absolutely. So it's always fascinating to me. And we've had those people on this show. We've had people on this show where something has been overturned, some DNA evidence, something happened, and then suddenly they were free. And it always sends chills up my spine when I hear those stories, although ultimately it's good if somebody is released that should not be in prison. But it does make you wonder about those that get caught in the net. And then quickly this, you know, we talk about the mayhem of Mother Nature, the chaos, the whiplash we feel from weather and from things like earthquakes. There was a magnitude 7.6 earthquake that hit off the western coast of Mexico on Monday afternoon. President Obrador confirmed that a person died due to a fence falling in a shopping center, but that's it, which that is the good news, that there wasn't more. The U.S. Geological Survey said it initially registered the earthquake about 25 miles southeast of La Placita del Morales, hitting just after 1 p.m. Central Time, and it was felt as far inland as Mexico City. Wow! More to come with some great authors. Stay with us.
I just woke up and I'm extremely disoriented. I found myself on Ray Street, a second avenue, in an apartment whose dimensions grow alternately smaller.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811, brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
Most of Puerto Rico is without water and electricity following Hurricane Fiona hitting the island. Governor Pedro Pierluisi warned that it could take days to get the lights back on. A magnitude 7.6 earthquake struck Mexico's central Pacific coast. One person was killed at a mall when a wall collapsed on them. Queen Elizabeth II now laid to rest at Windsor Castle next to her late husband Prince Philip after a sunup that the Queen planned every detail of. Adnan Syed is a free man as Baltimore prosecutors investigate new leads and alternative suspects in the 1999 murder of Syed's estranged high school girlfriend, Syed, the subject of the hit podcast Serial. On Wall Street Monday, the Dow gained 197 points, the Nasdaq rose 86.5 points, and the S&P 500 added 26.5 points. I'm Kenneth Burns, USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Water, a memoir about life with men. Dr. Jennifer Embry joins us now. Boy, she's led an interesting life, that's for sure. And I have to say this right at the top, that I think some of our listeners and I myself am jealous of this because you live in Bramford, Florida, and you've got boxers, turkeys, Indian runner ducks, which I never heard of, and I guess you're doing some kayaking and having a lot of fun. Is that pretty accurate?
Oh yeah, I love it up here. It's even though it's in Florida, it's like real rural and kind of in the woods. So it's a nice break from any city living.
Yeah, there you go. So you have time to write a book, and you write this book. Tell us about the journey of writing the book. What made you decide you were going to do this?
Well, I experienced this incredible. Experience that happened to me, and I don't have any children or any family, and I'm worried if I don't tell my story, it's going to be lost forever. I think it's just too important to just let it disappear.
So tell us about the story. What's the book about?
It's about how I received a new life, basically. And, growing up, I lived in a very chaotic, abusive family. And, the consequences were severe on me, where I experienced, drug abuse and, alcoholism and promiscuity mainly was a big thing, and codependency. And after I had this life-shattering experience, my life was changed forever. And I just wanted to tell people about that.
Yeah, and in your book you talk about this. You talk about your father, you talk about his lifestyle, and you talk about eventually murder. So that had to be unbelievably traumatic.
It was like just getting punched over and over and over again. You wake up each day like, what terrible thing is going to happen today?
Right.
And it's really difficult.
So how do you recover from that? What did you do?
Well, I started thinking, this can't be normal. You know, people don't go around having their gay fathers murdered every day. And how can I just get through the day without such terrible anxiety? So I just started kind of exploring different options. And my second husband happened to be Jewish. And we were in graduate school together. And he said, I said, let's go out and do something. And he said, well, I can't date you because you're not Jewish. And I was like, oh, well, that's interesting. So he kind of just left my house, and then he came back about an hour later, and he goes, I don't care what my parents say. I still want to date you. So we started going out, and I started learning about Judaism, and I fell in love with Judaism. I learned all. I converted to Judaism. I had a formal ceremony, and I just immersed myself into it. And because I wasn't completely healed yet, I ended up getting a divorce from my second husband. And so I was alone. I was single and dated a man from India who was Christian, and he was having trouble with his teenage son, so we decided to go to church. I started going to an Episcopal church and learning more about God on the other side. You know, in Judaism, we really focus on the Old Testament. The priest, obviously, focused on the New Testament. And I kept saying, I'm going to prove that God doesn't exist. So we would sit down every week and go through the Bible, and I would try and convince the Episcopal priest that God doesn't exist. And for some reason, I just couldn't do it. And I found amazing coincidences throughout the Bible that predicted what would happen to Jesus on the cross, and the book of Isaiah, which happened, 500 to 1,000 years before Jesus actually walked on the earth. So these were remarkable to me, and I decided I will give my life to Christ. I can't deny this didn't happen. But I was still felt guilty because I was Jewish, and I thought, all the Jews are going to be mad at me. God's going to be mad at me. So I decided to go ahead and take my first baptism, I was infant baptized, but water baptism and communion, and then things really went crazy from there.
Right, so that belief helped you, right?
It kind of got me, pushed me on my way.
And in the book, what's so interesting is you talk about where we started, growing up in the 60s and 70s, and you're in an affluent suburb of Detroit and all the things, the chaos that happened, then your relationship with men. And in the book, you do a really clever thing. You write a letter to each one of them and then talk about, you know, how that brought you into this relationship with God that you're talking about now. What a clever thing. Was that cathartic to write those letters in the book?
Yes, and I wanted to also go kind of in reverse chronological order, like you're reflecting back on what happened. So I started it kind of in the present tense, and then each chapter, I kind of wrote each chapter as like a short story. I think it can kind of stand alone, and I thought that would be easy for readers. I've gotten critiques, though, that some people don't like the reverse chronological order. I kind of like it. It's kind of different, and it gives some perspective. But I feel like as we go back in time, it gets deeper and deeper into my tragedy, where I describe my dad's murder and all these kind of things.
Yeah. How old were you when that happened?
I was 27.
My mom
and dad, my dad was an attorney, a corporate attorney in Detroit, and they kind of got set up. Both their parents were wealthy and belonged to the country club, and they got my parents got set up by their parents to go on a date and ended up getting married. But my dad told my mom that he was gay, and that was in the late 50s at the time, which was not acceptable. But they went to a counselor or marriage, counselor or whatever, psychologist, and they went to a couple sessions, and the counselor said, Phil, my dad was cured of his gayness, so it's okay to get married. So they got married, and initially, in my real young years, we lived in a nice house, and my mom was like a typical 60s wife, but there would be these terrible screaming matches, and it was terrible. And I know my mom found out, my dad was probably having an affair or whatever, a gay affair. So it made her just crazy. And then we moved out to the country in a big English Tudor style house, and we had horses and dogs, and being in Detroit and Michigan in the winter, we had pretty bad winters, and my mom just kind of abandoned us. We were left with dirty dishes in the sink and animal feces on the floor, and my dad wouldn't come home for days. I was 10 or 12. My brother was 10 years younger. My sister was 2 years younger, and we were left. The children were left with no food, no heat, filthy feces, and ultimately the horses starved to death.
Wow.
And my mom would tell me, it's time to, my dad would say, Jennifer, go out and feed the horses, and 9 o'clock at night on a winter night. And I'd go out there, and there was no food to feed them. The grain was gone, no hay. So I remember just standing in the barn for 10 or 15 minutes, however long I thought it would take to feed them, so my parents would think I fed them and go back in. And I still have nightmares today of that.
Wow. And you came out on the other side, and we don't want to give everything away about the book, but it is such a journey. A Drink of Water, a memoir about my life with men, Dr. Jennifer Embry. Thanks for sharing and coming on. You can get the book on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Thank you so much.
Ever
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Paudi Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Are you watching your retirement savings melt away right in front of your eyes as the economy crumbles? Well, if you have an IRA, 401k, or similar account, I need to tell you about a better way that was revealed by a Wall Street Journal best-selling book. Simply put, you can opt out of the insanity and convert your existing retirement account into the most stable physical asset in history. Physical gold and silver. Plus, this conversion might qualify you for an IRS loophole that could save you even more. Today, Advantage Gold is giving away a completely free audiobook version of the national bestseller, Gold is a Better Way. Just text the word better to 48542 to get your copy. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. By the time you drive home, this simple step may save the future value of your retirement. It's not too late if you're not prepared. You can take action now and claim a free copy. Text the word better to 48542. That's B-E-T-T-E-R to 48542. Message and data rates may apply.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
I definitely have a love for thoroughbred racing, as I have family members in racing. A couple of my cousins are trainers, and my uncle was a jockey. So it's really fun to have Roger Salvino on with us. Families bringing thoroughbred horse racing to Illinois. Families and thoroughbred horse racing. And this is a book that's a labor of love, I think, in a way, because Roger's father was a trainer. So, Roger, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Okay, if you give me your family's name, I probably know it.
Service. So it's John Service and Joe Service is my uncle. He was a jockey out of West Virginia. And John Service had a horse called Smarty Jones that almost won the Triple Crown, just missing by a nose at the Belmont.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it's really fun. I learned so much about thoroughbred horses and horse racing through different family members, for sure. So what made you write this book?
The reason I wrote this book is because my family's in the business, and I thought that there wasn't enough people interested in how the racing game is so important to the public and to my family. Right.
And how tough is the racing game? I think people don't understand what it's like to be in it.
Pardon me?
How tough is the racing game? What's it like to be, you know, in the midst of a thoroughbred racing?
Well, I grew up in the business because my father started in working with horses, and he migrated into the thoroughbred industry because home is in Cicero, and there's a racetrack, two racetracks adjacent to Cicero, Illinois. So my father was working on a farm with his uncle, who's from Italy, and he was working on a farm there, helping him pit weeds and help with the planting of the things that he was growing, the potatoes there, and et cetera. And the farm was adjacent to the racetrack property. So my father got interested because he saw all the people coming to the racetrack to see the races. So he went over there, and he was employed to help with the horses. Although at that time horses were very popular in the area, people had horses in their on their properties for riding and for transportation. So that's how I got interested in it, through my father.
And what's it been like for you to be in racing?
Well, I started out with my father helping him with his horses because he had horses that he was training for a friend. And then he purchased a horse called Happy Knee, Happy Pilot, and got people interested in investing in Happy Hour Farm. Gave him X amount of dollars to start the business, and he bought Happy Pilot, and which turned out to be a very good horse. And then he migrated to get more horses, and he started Happy Hour Farm, and he ended up having 10 or 15 horses. And one of the outstanding races he won with DeValue was a $50,000 race. It was a really popular race. And through the years there, my father's name was in the sports pages as a horse trainer and a part owner of some horses. So at that time, to have your father's name in a newspaper was a real big, big thing, because no one else that I knew of while I was going to school had any part of their, any one of their families in the newspaper. So the big thing was that your name, Salvino's, in the newspaper, and talking about my father and how he got in the business and the horses he owned and the jockeys he was using on all his horses, and that was very popular, and that's how I got interested in everything.
Did you have a favorite horse of all time that you've worked with, your father worked with, or you had, you know, you mentioned one, but that you really, really just liked and watched watch this horse race and grow into it?
Well, Happy Pilot, I would say, was the most popular horse there. He's a real big horse, and he was real easy to handle. That horse was popular with the people that worked for my father, and I just grew interested in the horse also. I was friendly with most of the horses there. As I was very young, I was walking the horses, calling them out after their training. But Happy Pilot was probably the most popular.
Yeah. What do you think, when you look at the horse racing industry now, it's been pretty tough. And keeping the interest there and getting people to want to be involved in thoroughbred racing, not families who want to, train horses.
Well, right. It's difficult for somebody, unless they know or are interested in watching races and wagering on the horses. They might get interested in buying horses. And I've had people that were interested in the business. They were friends of mine. And we started a stable, and we did very well. And as the time went on, we got rid of the horses that we had. We sold them, and they didn't want to go back into business. In fact, they moved out of Illinois. They moved to California, and that kind of broke up owning horses because they would prefer to see what was going on, and the horses were running in Illinois, and they were in California. So that kind of ended that relationship.
Do you think the crowds were pretty interested in racing in Illinois? Because I think it's a loyal bunch there.
Well, when you really come down to it, what did people have for entertainment? They either went to the show, see movies, or they would go downtown or be on the lakefront. Or there wasn't too many things that people were doing. They could go to the racetrack to see races. They could gamble legally on horses. And gambling, I'm sure they had gambling places that were illegal, but you could go to the racetrack and bid on horses. You could have dinner there. You could socialize, and you were treated with greatly at the tracks because you come in here to be entertained, and that was a big factor at that time.
Yeah. What do you want people to take away from reading your book, Families Bringing Thoroughbred Horse Racing to Illinois, Families and Thoroughbred Horse Racing?
Well, anybody that would read the book would have a basic idea on horse racing, how important it is to the public, and how it serves the society with jobs and money and entertainment.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think it's very entertaining, and it does serve a lot of jobs from all the things that go on behind what you actually see before the horses get to the gate and actually race. And you talk about being a kid and getting to walk the horses, and that's a job, taking care of the horses, grooming them, that's really big.
Oh, definitely. And here's the big factor. The racetracks have rooms for people that work in the industry. They have their families there, and that's a great help for the industry. They give jobs, and they're living right on the grounds. It's an industry with homes.
I like that, an industry with homes. Was it fun for you to write this book?
Was it difficult for me to write this book?
No, was it fun?
No, because I have so much background with the industry, and
yeah, so
my
just
family was in there, so I could write about my family a little bit, too, and myself.
Yeah, there you go. You wrote about your family, you wrote about yourself, so it wasn't difficult to write it. I say it's like a love letter to your family for sure, and I love thoroughbred racing, so I think it's terrific that you wrote about it. Roger Salvino, thank you so much for coming on. You can pick up the book on Amazon. Thanks.
You're welcome. Thanks for the interview.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Poudiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Poudiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.